Hello, and thanks for being with us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Nitzamazoz. Hello. And today we'd like to talk about suffering. That's a part of life, I think that we all know. But today we'd like to better understand what should the correct attitude towards suffering be so it can take us to a better life. Be with us, Nitza, please. Yeah, suffering is a very broad subject that includes many other subjects in it, meaning suffering could be physical, emotional, mental. There are different intensities of suffering. There's momentary suffering, there's lasting suffering, there's chronic suffering. Sometimes there is a feeling that the suffering was inevitable, and sometimes there is a feeling that maybe it was unnecessary and that we could have avoided it. There are many different attitudes towards suffering, but there's one thing that's very clear. We and also animals have a natural mechanism to run away from suffering. Once there is something that causes us suffering, our natural inclination is to run away and to try and avoid it as much as possible. We also see that our technologies are trying to develop different kinds of painkillers and processes that will reduce the level and amount of suffering in our life. So the question is man's natural aspiration to avoid suffering realistic? That it's natural, that goes without saying, meaning that there are such influences over us that we determine that they're unpleasant, so much so that they make us suffer to the point where we're ready to get rid of them at any cost, so to speak. Meaning it's possible to measure suffering on the one hand. On the other hand, it's personal. It's something very individual. It has different levels. There's physical pain, mental pain, the pain of a nation, of a society, of a country, of a family. Meaning there are many different positive or negative influences that we're actually in. In general, we can say that our entire life is either pleasure or pain. And then we move in between the two all the time. And sure, we want to be more on the side of the pleasure, but on the other hand, we also start understanding that there has to be also some suffering, a bit, in order to feel the pleasure. Why can't there be no suffering? It's impossible. It's two sides of the same coin. A feeling, a sensation. In order to feel something, we, the created beings, have to be included of two opposite discernments. Day and night, good and bad. Because if there's just one of them, then we wouldn't feel them at all. We wouldn't. But because to begin with, we have of both, then regarding the good and the bad, in different ways, we can determine our state, our situation, meaning pleasure or pain. So the pleasure is possible only because there is suffering, and without suffering, I can't determine that it's pleasure. I can't feel anything unless it consists of both, unless it includes both. So the natural aspiration to avoid pain, is it realistic? Is it what? Is it a realistic aspiration? It's a realistic inclination. It's a realistic aspiration. But can we realize it? That's a question. In the framework of our life, we can't. Unequivocally, because we see that we're really making lots of efforts to avoid suffering, and it's a big question. Are these efforts fruitful? Can they really prevent suffering? No. In order to prevent suffering, we need to change our inclinations, understanding, definitions. And it's not that it depends on our own mind, but We have to change inside ourselves the definitions of our nature about what pleasure and what pain is. So that's what's interesting. What is our correct attitude towards it? This is something that we can't reach, because nature, to begin with, put us in between pleasure and pain, and we're between the two, and unless we rise above nature, then we will always be between the pleasure and pain set by nature, and we won't be able to get out of it. Meaning that in our current situation, there's no way to develop a correct attitude. We don't even understand how to approach it. Right, it's a fact. This is what we see, that even though that we're so developed, the only way to avoid suffering is through the simplest painkillers and up to hard drugs that bring a person to a state of complete unconsciousness. So we only disconnect ourselves from the feeling of suffering. We can also put ourselves into an as-if kind of pleasure, but all of these things are artificial. And their only goal is to go through life with as little suffering as possible. And that's all there is to it. This is the only thing that mankind's doing, to suffer as little as possible, and if possible, to enjoy some more. So the best thing would be to connect myself to some electrode, to connect my brain to some electrode, turn on the electricity, and then I'm in a kind of nirvana till the end of my days. Or that altogether my life will disconnect along with it. If I'm going for suffering less, then to begin with, I'm cursing my life. Why was I actually born? Because my entire life is only running away from suffering. Or even if I'm chasing pleasure, still, I'm deluding myself. I'm just filling my short life with such sensations that are transient. This is the problem. So what I understand is that, first of all, suffering is inevitable. It's a part of life. Is there a difference between physical pain and mental pain in terms of man's ability, in terms of it to develop man? Physical pain is something that we can get rid of by different means, starting with different kinds of medicine, drugs, anesthesia, and so on, of course. Mental pain, this is something that you need more inner, more subtle means for, more exalted means for. That's also possible. We've also developed drugs for it and different systems that can treat people psychologically or psychiatrically, of course. I'm asking from the spiritual perspective, is there a difference between physical pain and mental pain? Meaning, not from the point of view of medicine and the ways you can treat both. No, the spiritual aspect starts with the question of, what am I living for? That I start seeing that no matter how I live my life, even if I live a great corporeal life that will constantly confuse me from all sides, still, in the back of my head, someplace, I have this thought that actually my life is meaningless, that it's useless, that there's no purpose. And then this understanding, this thought, this feeling that permeates my mind ever deeper, it doesn't allow me to be happy. I can forget about it, I can confuse myself like a child that's given some kind of toy and he's confused really quickly to forget about something. And then he wakes up and doesn't know what's being done to him. But it's a lie. So the kind of suffering you just described, it's the source for mental or also physical suffering. It's sometimes hard for us to tell these things apart, but mainly it's mental suffering. And of course, by different means, drugs, different things that I do, I can confuse myself. But if I stick with my inner research and scrutinies, then I reach a very bitter conclusion that actually my life is useless, meaning I wasn't the one to decide to start it. My parents decided on it, or nature did. And when will it end? I don't know, but in short, this entire period called life went by without a meaning. The most I tried throughout life was to feel good according to what I understand. But that's it. And then what is it all for? Then it's not good or bad. This is man's conclusion, that life simply slipped between my fingers and that's that. So if I understand correctly, this is the source of suffering, meaning the source of suffering is somewhere deep inside. The source of suffering comes to us from a very high inner and hidden source that brings us the question of, what am I living for? This is actually the question that later on comes into our life and then it really bitters them in all aspects. And it's actually also the reason eventually for all of the physical suffering. What do you mean? The question that leads me to ask about the true spiritual, eternal meaning of life, if I don't realize it, then in order to awaken me towards that, it comes down to different mental levels and even bodily levels. And the reason for all of it is one, that I'm not correctly realizing my life. So you're saying that the fact that a person does not correctly realize his life to the fullest later on causes different kinds of suffering in life and up to the level of physical suffering. This is also the root of all of our illnesses, of course. There is one root to everything. Man's incomplete self-realization is the root for all the evil in the world on all levels, on the general, particular level, and on all the levels inside a particular person. So the more we develop, the suffering grows, and we'll discover more and more physical illnesses, and our dependence on each other and our dependence on the surrounding world. That's a question I wanted to ask, really, because when we look at man's development, we see that in the past, man was less sensitive to suffering. Even a few generations ago, if a person, for example, had to undergo some kind of surgery, and you'd pour a bit of alcohol on it, there weren't too many anesthetics and so on. You know, stitches, everything. Today, the tiniest pain, we feel that that's it. We can't stand it. We can't deal with it. Is it true that today people are more sensitive to pain? Maybe it's a more qualitative kind of pain. Qualitative pain. Yeah, you can say that. Qualitative suffering. Because if in the past we suffered from more corporeal things, injuries, illnesses, things like that, yeah, and in general, domestic life and so on, then today it's much more subtle, gentle, humane. We became more envious. We're suffering more from things that aren't exactly physically close to my body, but still I suffer. Envy, lust, honor, control, the ego in general, it's constantly developing. And this brings me to a field of problems, both in width and also in depth, that I suffer from. Sometimes there's this attitude, especially towards the younger generation, they're pampered, they cry about everything, but it's really so. So it's not because they're more pampered or anything, but what they have sensors that are, sure, take children that lived 100 or 200 years ago in some village, that even went to some school barefoot. Yeah, barefoot, that lived with their cows and everything, that knew that they're going to continue what their parents are doing, that they're going to be farmers and that they're going to take care of the farm animals and so on. And compared with what you have today, children at the ages of 2, 3, with their mobiles and all their games and their entire world and everything, and what do we demand of them? How we approach a child at the ages of 3, 4, 5, that he already has to encompass the entire world mentally and emotionally and prepare himself for all of it. Where is his childhood? Where is his life? And how is that related to suffering? Because we don't feel how much he's suffering. And look, they go to school. Isn't it suffering? Look at the competition. Look at everything. And how we're participating in that competition. Look at how he is and this and that. What for? Is that pleasure? To live this kind of life all the time? It isn't. I want to ask about another aspect that is also related to suffering. I want to ask about physical pain. There are states where a person, because of an injury or an illness or something, a person feels pain, physical pain. Sometimes a person feels physical pain as suffering, and sometimes he feels physical pain, but he doesn't feel suffering. When does pain become suffering, and when doesn't it? It depends on the goal. If the pain is goal-oriented, then it's no longer pain, but it's investing in attaining a certain goal. Meaning, maybe you can give an example. Very simple. You can take an animal, a dog, for example, that injured its foot, and you take care of the dog. The dog feels that you're taking care of it, and what you're doing is to its benefit, and even though that the dog suffers as a result, he understands it and allows you to do it. So in this state, he feels pain, but he's not suffering. He is suffering, but the goal that he understands covers for the suffering. The suffering's still there. Is it possible to always bring something into the situation that will justify the suffering in the present? It depends on a person's development and the state or the situation that he's in, the extent to which he understands it. There are people that choose to suffer, like, it's good to die for our country, and things like that. It all depends on the person. I'll give an example that maybe can explain what I mean. I have to get my tooth pulled. I can do it with anesthesia or without it. If I do it without anesthesia, it's going to really hurt. If I do it with anesthesia, I'll feel the pain less. And, you know, I'll go through it more moderately, but eventually I'll find myself without a tooth. Now, that you'll tell me, look, we're going to pull out your tooth because it caused you suffering and so on, it still doesn't give me the mental powers to go through it without anesthesia. I still want to decrease the pain and everything. Meaning, I gave you this as an example where I understand what the goal of pulling out the tooth is, and I know that I have to do it, but I want to do it with less suffering. Why not then? So that's exactly my question. What's the right attitude towards this entire matter? What will I benefit from suffering? This suffering that I'll go through, will it correct me? Will it yield some good result? What will I get out of this suffering? My tooth is going to get pulled one way or another. But do I add suffering to it or don't I? what will I get out of it as a result? Meaning that if a person feels that he'll get something as a result of the pain and suffering at the end of the road, his attitude towards it changes. Of course, the example that comes to mind, birth. Obviously, it's a process that is painful, but we see that it's worthwhile. Right. And there's still pain and everything, and there are those that will want to use anesthetics, those that won't, but it doesn't matter. But the goal, it's worthwhile. This is something else. So what's the difference? The difference is that here it's natural pain that is a part of the process of giving birth, and therefore it's preferable for a woman to go through it naturally. Naturally, actually. Yeah. Whereas pulling out a tooth, that's not natural. So this is very interesting. So there's a certain process here where there's no problem to use anesthetics because it's an artificial process, for example. Yeah, we can also see it in past generations that women weren't given any anesthetics or anything or some tranquilizers or something. Not at all. But for her to make the effort and give a natural birth. Whereas regarding pulling out teeth or surgeries in general, this is something that mankind has developed painkillers for a long time ago. Okay, a different example. I have the flu, and sometimes it's really bad. Everything hurts. And it could last a week. What? I always have this dilemma. As it says, the doctor was given permission to cure. It's a disease. The pain is also a disease. A toothache is also an illness. All these things are different than when the body is healthy, when it's fine. Whereas, if a healthy body wants to give birth, then everything that's related to the birth has to happen. Okay, this I understand. Going back to the flu, why did you just tell me the doctor was given permission to cure? Because always when I have the flu, I have this dilemma, should I take painkillers and when? It's something that has to be determined by the doctor. The doctor immediately tells me, take a pill. Why should I? Why should you decide? Painkillers or something in order to be cured? I don't like medicine in general, because painkillers isn't medicine. Medicine is something that cures. Painkillers tranquilize. Yeah. Okay. You just said something amazing, and I want to ask about that. You said that if a person understands what will he gain from the suffering, then it could give him the strength and a different perspective on his situation right now. We develop from suffering, undoubtedly, every time that we're lacking something. It means that we're suffering. Maybe it's a pleasant kind of suffering. Doesn't matter, but still, there's something lacking. And then from the deficiency, we start developing. So why hide it? Tranquilize it? So what should I do with the feeling of the lack? The feeling of the lack is good. You have to examine it, you have to research it, and we have to see how can we advance with it. If a person's not lacking anything, if a child's growing, but his lack isn't evolving, that's a problem. He won't develop. He'll grow up to be some thug with a pinhead, so to speak. This feeling of lack that you're saying that is developing man, and therefore I understand that your attitude towards suffering is that there's no point in running to quickly quench it. Is it good to work with this feeling that I'm lacking and this way I'm suffering? Should I work with it? I shouldn't just, you know, artificially quench it. No, of course not. Otherwise, what would mankind look like were we to quench, to tranquilize all of these inclinations of ours? We diminish ourselves. Someone who wants a bit more, you knock him on the head, sit down. Previously, a few minutes ago, you said that man's incomplete realization of oneself is the root for all the illnesses, problems, and in general, all the evil that there is in life. Has that related to what you just said, that when a person's lacking in suffering, that can actually develop them? Only suffering develops. Suffering meaning the lack of realization, the extent to which I feel that I'm lacking, that I'm suffering, that I'm aware of what I'm lacking, and how can I reach satisfaction? How can I compensate for it? Accordingly, I advance. And therefore, we have to appreciate the suffering that causes us to develop. And we have to appreciate the suffering that points at the illness. That no matter what kind of suffering comes my way, it's because nature wants to show me that something's wrong. It's insinuating that something's wrong. And it's not just so that I take a painkiller, I have to find where does it come from. Otherwise, by this pill, by this painkiller, I can quench myself, and in the meantime, there is something bad that's evolving. Okay, so you say that suffering doesn't come just so, that nature is trying to show me something. Is it correct on all levels, physical, mental? Yes, I truly respect suffering because it actually shows me where is something wrong, where do I have to develop myself, where do I have to calm myself down, where do I have to add something. Suffering is an indication, it's a sign, it's a measurement that something's wrong and that I immediately have to take care of it. Without suffering, I'd put my hand into the fire and won't feel it. And my hand, it would burn. Try it. You can give yourself a shot, put your hand into the fire and not feel anything. Physically wise, I completely understand the example, but if you can say something about suffering and self-realization, the same. Even more, any tiniest thing where I feel that I don't understand why, what for, where is it coming from, and so on, I have to examine in my life what is the source of that suffering, what does it want to show me, what is it directing me at. Because if this is how I relate to life, I gradually develop myself until I reach the exalted goal. That this is how my life's arranged by nature, that every time the suffering becomes more and more exalted, more special, and then it brings me to the goal, which is complete self-realization. Yeah, like we want for a child to suffer because he's unstable, that he's weak, that he's this, that he's that. Afterwards, that he'll suffer because he's not special, that he's not exalted. That's how he develops. Suffering is what pulls me forward. Dr. Leitman, thank you very, very much. Thank you, Nitsa. Thank you for being with us. Until next time, all the best.